I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's March 1st, and we have a lot to talk about. And this week, we're talking about MS advocacy. Now, some of you may think that advocacy doesn't really apply to you or speak to your interests. I'll only say that I truly believe that the things that people affected by MS want the most, things like access to quality healthcare, affordable prescription medications, and funding for MS research are, to a very large extent, all functions of public policy. The people who decide whether we get those things are our elected officials at both the state and federal level. So, to me, advocacy is a priority. And my own experience has shown me that advocating on behalf of your own interests is one of the most empowering things that a person can do. Next Monday, March 7th, it's going to be my honor to join my friend Marcus Jones as co-MCs of the National MS Society's Public Policy Conference. And joining me to talk about the importance of this year's conference is the National MS Society's Executive Vice President of Advocacy and Healthcare Access and a good friend of the podcast, Barry Talenti. But before we get to my conversation with Barry, there are a few other things that you should know about. Last week, the America's Committee for Treatment and Research in Multiple Sclerosis convened their annual research conference in West Palm Beach, Florida. The ACTRIMS Forum was the first in-person MS research conference to take place in 2 years, and it was absolutely wonderful to be face-to-face with so many people that I either haven't seen or have only seen on screen for the past 2 years. Now, I'm still in the process of distilling the presentations that were made at the conference, and I'll be sharing those with you in next week's podcast. But one of the real highlights of the ACTRIMS Forum is the presentation of the Barancic Prize for Innovation in MS Research. This award is administered by the National MS Society, and it's given in recognition of exceptional innovation and originality in scientific research relevant to multiple sclerosis, with emphasis on impact and potential of the research to lead to pathways for the treatment and cure for MS. This year's recipient of the Barancic Prize is Dr. Amit Bar-Or, the Melissa and Paul Anderson President's Distinguished Chair and Professor of Neurology at the University of Pennsylvania's Perelman School of Medicine, where he serves as Chief of the Division of Multiple Sclerosis and Related Disorders and Founding Director of the Center for Neuroinflammation and Neurotherapeutics. Dr. Bar-Or was recognized for his pioneering work in uncovering how the immune system drives MS and his cutting-edge research focused on precision medicine to achieve long-term remission and ultimately prevent MS progression. While I was at the ACTRIMS Forum, I talked with Dr. Bar-Or about some of his remarkable work aimed at improving outcomes for people living with MS. In a moment, we'll hear my conversation with Dr. Amit Bar-Or. Dr. Bar-Or, first, congratulations on being named this year's recipient of the Barancic Prize. When it comes to rethinking the paradigm of patient care, you've developed something called the Precision Neuroimmunology Platform, and I'm hoping you can explain what that is and how it can be transformative in terms of patient outcomes.
Well, first, John, thanks for the kind words. It was an honor to be the Barancic Prize recipient. The neuroimmunology platform that we've been pursuing is part of the initiative pursued by many, not just us, to move towards a precision medicine approach in MS and neuroimmunology. And the idea here is that we have developed ways and continue to advance the ways to measure someone's immune state in the periphery with a blood sample to try to understand how people may differ biologically as part of what makes people living with MS different from one another. And the practical implications are, hopefully, to be able to better manage decision-making in terms of which treatment to initiate in particular individuals, when to consider switching and what to switch to, as well as potentially when one might be able to stop treatment altogether with MS still being acquiesced. That's the concept of a durable remission, which we're, of course, pursuing as one of the holy grails in the MS field.
A lot of the initial research on the effects of COVID-19 vaccines on people living with MS was based on looking at B cells. Now, studying T cells isn't nearly as easy, but understanding the role of T cells is important to people living with MS who are on B cell depleting therapies. Now, I know this is something that you've studied. Can you share what you've learned?
Sure. So, in the world of vaccination, the way that people typically measure the person's response to the vaccine is by measuring the antibodies of the immune system that are generated against the vaccine. They're relatively easy to measure, and they represent one limb of the person's immune response generated by the vaccine that confers protection. Because it's relatively easy to measure, this has been the standard way of assessing vaccine responses. The problem with the measurement in individuals who are on anti-CD20 therapies, who don't have as many B cells as one might anticipate, are not going to be making the antibodies. And the initial studies that tried to assess vaccine responses in the kind of standard way by looking at the antibodies generated to the vaccine in individuals on the anti-CD20 B cell targeting therapies raised the concerning question when it was observed that people are not mounting good antibody responses. They may be very attenuated, or they may be entirely abrogated or absent. And what we were able to do, and several groups since, is to measure not just the antibodies, but in the same individuals who are not making very good antibody responses, we could document that they're actually making very good T-cell responses. And that, first and foremost, is reassuring that individuals who are not generating antibodies are nonetheless generating the cellular response to the vaccine that has been shown in other contexts to confer protection. Now, we don't know fully all the details about how protective it is, and it's probably not quite as protective as if you made both the cellular response and the antibodies, but it's certainly not a moot point to get a vaccine. People were saying, well, if I'm not going to make antibodies, the vaccine's not working, why should I get it? That's, in fact, not correct, right? You should definitely get the vaccine when it's appropriate to get the vaccine, and you will mount responses that look to be at least well protective, if not fully protective. The other dimension here is that by measuring the cellular responses of T cells in the absence of B cells and seeing changes in the T cell responses to the vaccine, we actually learn something entirely new about what B cells do to T cells when the B cells are present. And that's insight into normal immunology, but it actually does have implications to understand how B cells of the immune system talk back and forth to different types of T cells. And they do so differently with different types of T cells. People refer to the CD4 T cells, the CD8 T cells, and very different responses that we can understand are conferred by the B cell T cell interaction that turn out to be relevant not just in health, but almost certainly in the context of MS as well.
2 years ago, did you have any idea that you would develop a subspecialty in vaccinology?
Absolutely not. Our lab is what we refer to as a cellular and molecular neuroimmunology lab. We've been interested in how immune cells talk to each other in the context of both regulating normal health, but also in conditions where the immune system is inappropriately attacking the central nervous system, MS, of course, being the prototype. But like many other labs during the pandemic, we realized that there are some really important questions that we were actually in reasonably good position to try to address, because by applying the same techniques that we've been using to try to better understand MS, we were able to capture important aspects of vaccine responses at the cellular level in addition to the antibody level, and that really has given us the insights that I was sharing previously.
In past presentations, I've heard you make the case for treating MS early with high-efficacy disease-modifying therapies. As we see a greater focus on shared decision-making, people diagnosed with MS are going to have to determine their level of comfort with an induction or escalation therapy model. So I'm hoping you can walk us through the rationale behind this approach to treating MS early with high-efficacy DMTs.
Sure, John. So over the years, the two approaches in general that people had considered were either the incremental escalation of treatment. In other words, start with something that is relatively gentle on the immune system, has a modest, maybe moderate effect on MS activity because it may be sufficient for this individual, and then continue to follow. And if there is breakthrough disease, meaning this person's illness is stronger than this treatment, escalate the treatment. The advantage is that people may end up on a treatment that is going to do less to the immune system while still controlling an individual's MS. The disadvantage is that by the time you realize you need to escalate, injury has taken place that to date is irreversible. We don't know how to fix things that are injured, and we really need to put an emphasis on limiting, minimizing, and stopping injury. The other approach, which is trying to be more proactive with a higher efficacy therapy up front, means that you would use a treatment that is very likely to stop the MS in all individuals you tried in, or the great majority of them, but then you may be exposing people to a stronger immune therapy. What has changed over the years are actually two things. One is we have come to realize more and more and more that early intervention that stops the development of the relapses is actually very, very important. We now have long enough follow-up where studies that were designed to have some people start a treatment and others be, let's say, on a placebo and delay the treatment, the open label extension of studies where everybody's on the treatment, there are multiple different immune therapies where people have had either treatment X from the beginning or delayed treatment X a year or two later. And those who had the delayed treatment compared to those who had an earlier treatment ended up with worse disability, irreversible disability, and never caught up. Right? So that's one aspect of the value, the importance of doing something early in this condition. The other has been that our early higher efficacy therapies came with a lot of baggage, side effects, and risks. And we now have more and more higher efficacy therapies that are both very well tolerated by patients, meaning convenient and easy to use without many side effects associated with taking the medicine, but also with low and very favorable risk profile. So beyond the tolerability, which is the person's experience, the risk of adverse events that are safety issues is a very important consideration. And we now have therapies that have been much better at both being high efficacy and not having to pay that price on the safety side. So as the field has evolved, on one hand, better therapies that are more suitable for treating more people earlier on, that's essentially the combination of factors that are the foundation for this early treatment paradigm shift.
The Barancic Prize recognizes innovation in MS research. This year, they definitely found the right recipient. Dr. Amit Bar-Or, thank you for all you do to improve the lives of people living with MS, and thanks for talking with me today.
Thanks, John. It's an honor and a pleasure.
You'll hear more from the 2022 ACT Rooms Forum in next week's episode of Real Talk MS, but we are just days away from a conference that I look forward to all year long. And that's the National MS Society's Public Policy Conference. This year's Public Policy Conference is going to be virtual, and that means that you can participate from the comfort and convenience of your own home. In just a moment, we'll be joined by the MS Society's Executive Vice President of Advocacy and Healthcare Access, Barry Toletti, who's going to give us a preview of what we can expect at this year's PPC. The National MS Society's Public Policy Conference is taking place this year on March 7th, and my guest today is the Executive Vice President of Advocacy and Healthcare Access for the MS Society, Barry Toletti. This year's Public Policy Conference is a virtual conference that you can be a part of, and Barry's joining me for what's become our annual conversation about what to expect at this year's Public Policy Conference. Welcome back to the podcast, Barry.
Thanks so much, John. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
We get to talk about the Public Policy Conference every year around this time, but for the benefit of everyone who started listening to the podcast since we did this a year ago, can you tell us a little bit about what the Public Policy Conference is all about and why it's so important?
Absolutely. And the Public Policy Conference, first of all, is one of my favorite experiences of the entire year. So we have a few goals in mind when we're planning the conference. So first, we want to make sure that we're giving people the education and information that they need to be informed. Second, we want to prepare people to have conversations with their elected officials or their staff. And third, we want to celebrate each other and celebrate the MS activists that are out there who work really hard all year long. And this is sort of our collective community moment together to really build that sense of community and have a great time with each other. So as we're educating, informing, and celebrating, we focus in on a couple of specific policy issues to really dive deeper into them and then make sure, again, that people, our MS activists, are really comfortable having either emails or virtual visits or conversations when they run into their elected official at the grocery store, that people are prepared to do that and have those conversations and advocate for themselves and other people with MS.
What makes advocacy important to people who are affected by MS?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the great ways to think about it is, you know, the National MS Society is here to support every person affected by MS. And for people who are experiencing a challenge or need assistance individually, MS Navigator is an excellent place to go, right? People can call or chat with an MS Navigator and get that one-on-one connection and help with whatever challenge they're experiencing at that time. But if you think about it, many individuals are contacting MS Navigator or going through similar challenges that we could solve at a systemic level. And that's really what advocacy does for people affected by MS. We can take those experiences and challenges that people with MS are having, that lots of individual people are having, and we can find a more global solution so that no one with MS has that challenge anymore.
And what are the priority issues that MS activists will be focusing on this year at the Public Policy Conference?
Right. So this year, we're going to focus in on two specific issues. So the first of those is MS research funding through the Department of Defense. And this is a specific line item of funding. So that means that it's it goes specifically to MS research. And we'll be advocating for $22 million in fiscal year 23. So we're currently at $20 million. So it's a small increase to keep up with inflation and the rising cost of research. To date, we've funded through our advocacy and the federal government about $93 million just through this specific line item of funding. So really exciting. And this particular MS research program really looks at high risk, high reward. So a little bit more innovative. It's a place where researchers can go to get their proof of concept, to really try what some in the research community might think is an idea that's a little bit out there or it needs more growth. The MS research program can be a place for that to happen. The other exciting thing about the MS research program is that it involves people with MS in setting the vision for the program each year and in actually reviewing the applications that come in. So people with MS are included in the program from the advocacy to fund it all the way through choosing those research projects. So our second issue that we'll be advocating for is a little bit larger. So it's affordable healthcare insurance and affordable drug prices. So we're really partnering these together because they go together for people with MS. You really can't have great quality healthcare without affordable health insurance coverage and without affordable drug price access. So we're partnering those together and we'll be advocating for those things. And like I said, it's a little bit broader. So it includes everything from lowering prescription drug prices and negotiation for certain medications to redesigning the Medicare prescription drug benefit so that there's finally an out-of-pocket cap there like exists in the private health insurance market. And then also some other pieces, some tax credits and smaller things that can make the private health insurance market for the Affordable Care Act, as well as Medicaid, more accessible and affordable for people.
Well, I mean, you just touched on such fundamental issues when it comes to the things that are important, meaningful, and really life-changing for people who are living with MS. Certainly, you'd be hard-pressed to think of things more vital than access to quality care and access to affordable care and affordable medication. So this is really terrific. These are really important issues. Some people might say that with our political parties more polarized than they've ever been before, advocacy efforts are less important than they might have been in the past. Does that partisan divide have an effect on advocacy?
It does have an effect, John. I think, sometimes what I hear from activists is they're a little bit more fatigued going through the process because they kind of feel like things take forever or they may not always feel listened to by a particular office. But it's so important just to keep at it. So, I wouldn't be in this line of work if I didn't really believe that government policies are the way that we can make lives better for lots of people. And that by and large, elected officials are there because they believe the same thing. So even when we disagree, we have to keep at it. I think what we have to remember is that even though there's a million people with MS in the United States, not everyone is familiar with MS. And so it's our job to make sure that elected officials and their staff really understand what it's like to live with MS and how these changes in public policies could make substantial difference for ourselves, for other people with MS that we know, and for people in their districts who are voting for them.
Well, as someone who's had the opportunity to be in several of those meetings with elected officials talking about these kinds of issues, I can only second everything you just said. And beyond that, point out that in just the past few years, well, take the MS research funding that we're looking to Congress for, we've seen that more than double. And it's because we have kept asking, and the results sort of speak for themselves.
That's right. And I'm going to date myself a little bit, but I remember working at the Society when that program didn't exist. And when we created the program and we started out with small amounts of funding, and then we grew to 6 million, and then we got to 20 million, and now we're going for 22. So hugely exciting. And it's just really important to think about not only the funding that's coming from that, but the leverage and influence to you. And Society staff are really close to the staff that run the MSRP program. They're involved on those committees like people with MS are. So we're really able to leverage the influence of the Society and the direction that we know research needs to go to matter for people with MS.
Beyond advocating in support of national legislative issues, the Society mobilizes MS activists at the state level as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're in the middle of a number of virtual state action days across the country. We'll probably get to around 30 this year. So some have happened already, some are in the works. So you can sort of find out yours at the National MS Society website under the Get Involved in Advocacy section. But it's another great opportunity to get involved. And we're trying a lot of creative, fun things with State Action Days this year as they're virtual as well. So people have sort of a community time together on screen in a virtual environment. Some State Action Days are having guest speakers. There's virtual visits with elected officials. But the same concepts apply. We want people to really feel that sense of community with fellow MS activists, to get educated and informed, and then to let elected officials and their staff know what it is that people affected by MS need from them and the changes in policy that we need.
I found that advocating on behalf of your own interests is one of the most empowering things that someone can experience. So I always encourage my listeners to get involved in advocacy. What should someone do if they're interested in becoming an MS activist or registering to virtually attend next week's public policy conference?
It's a great question, John, and I love that you're encouraging people to get involved. So it's really easy to register for the public policy conference, and you can do that through text. So you text the letters PPC for public policy conference to the number 52886. So the number that you're texting is 52886, and then your message is the letters PPC. And in response, you will get a link to register for the public policy conference. And for more general information on our advocacy, you can visit the Society's website at nationalmssociety.org and go to the Get Involved and Advocacy section.
Well, that's great. I will make sure to have that info for texting or visiting the website on today's show notes to make it super easy for people to get involved. Barry, I want to thank you and your entire team for all the effort involved in not only putting together the public policy conference, but in guiding our advocacy efforts so that we continue seeing legislative outcomes that deliver real benefits to people affected by MS. And thanks for talking with me today.
Thanks so much, John. I really value the time. And I think we should give your listeners two sneak peeks at the public policy conference. So first, they should all know that they can come and see you as one of our MCs who will be helping to moderate and run the conference with us. So thank you for that. And we look forward to your presence. And second, I'm happy to share that our guest keynote speaker will be CNN's John King. You may know that he recently disclosed that he has MS, and he's going to come on and talk with all of the MS activists at the public policy conference about his experience and the importance of advocating with elected officials through your story.
Well, I think a lot of us got to know John King during the last election when he was on every day during the protracted vote count, explaining it all and breaking it all down. I think he did a great job then, and then later to discover that he was living with MS, he became someone I wanted to get to know. So this is really a great pick. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're really excited that he's going to join us. So I hope that all of your listeners do as well.
I share that hope, and I'm certainly going to make sure that they get every detail they need to make it easy. Barry, thanks again. We'll see you next year.
Thanks, John.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society, and you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/235. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or text. If you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the very best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes, and I can share bonus content with you through the app. The app's free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.